Again, it is good to see each one here this morning, and we do appreciate your presence. Appreciate our men who lead in the service, and we appreciate everyone for singing out. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and open them up and follow along with the lesson this morning. Don't ever take for granted that somebody's telling you the truth, because they may not be. Especially when someone is claiming to preach the gospel, whether it's in a pulpit, in a church building, or on the radio, the TV, or the internet, you take your Bibles out and you compare what's being taught with the Word of God. Because many deceivers have gone out into the world, many false spirits, and we are to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. 1 John 4, verse 1. In Acts 17, 11, those folks were called noble-hearted because they searched the Scripture to find out whether these things are so. If you believe I've taught the truth this morning, I exhort you to take these truths and apply them to your life. On the other hand, if you believe I've taught error in any way, I certainly do not intend to do that. Come talk to me about that. And let's study it together and try to come to the right conclusion based upon His Word. This morning, I want to think about the Golden Rule. That's what we call it. The Golden Rule in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 12. The Lord said, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now we call this the Golden Rule. There are other rules that are similar that have been put forth by religious men or so-called wise men or philosophers that we call silver rules. For example, one silver rule is from the Hindu religion, which taught, "This is the sum of duty. Do naught to others, which if done to thee would cause thee pain." The Buddhist religion taught, "Hurt not others with that which pains yourself." There are Jewish traditions which taught, "What is hateful to you, do not to your fellow man." That is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. That's from the Talmud. The Muslim religion teaches, "No one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself." The Baha'i faith teaches, "He should not wish for others that which he doth not wish for himself, nor promise that which he doth not fulfill." And then, of course, there are the comedy versions that some have come up with, such as, "Do unto others before they do it to you." But on and on, these silver rules fall short of what the Lord actually said. No doubt these are men trying to get clever and offer some sort of abridgment of what the Lord Himself taught. Jesus' words do not need to be abridged. They don't need to be edited. They don't need to be updated. They are timeless and they are perfect just the way He uttered them. There are differences in what Jesus said, what we call the Golden Rule, and the silver rules. You see, the Golden Rule, that is what Jesus spoke, requires you to do something favorable to others, while all the others only prohibit you from doing something unfavorable to others. Jesus says, "Do unto others what you want them to do to you." The others say, "Don't do to others what you don't want done to you." Notice the difference. With the others, all that is required is that you don't harm other people. But with Jesus, it is required that you not only not harm other people, but that you actively show kindness to other people. And Jesus said, "On this hangs the law and the prophets." That's because if you can get this right, all the other commandments will come naturally. If you truly do unto others and love others like you should and want to do unto others as they would do unto you, then you're not going to steal from them. So that law is taken care of. You're not going to covet their goods. You're not going to murder them or lie from them or commit fornication against them. Because you're trying to do unto others as you would have others do unto you, and you wouldn't want people to steal from you or murder you or lie to you. And so on this golden rule hangs the law and the prophets. Edwin Markham said, who lived from 1852 to 1940, "We have committed the golden rule to memory. Let us now commit it to life." And just think of all the different relationships wherein, if we would apply the golden rule, there would be great peace and contentment and happiness between the husband and wife, between even your employer or your employee, between your physical brothers and sisters and cousins, between parents and children, even when it comes to your enemies. Jesus taught that we should do good to those who curse us. I want to think about three real life applications of the golden rule this morning very quickly. Number one, I want to show that we need to be patient. That being patient is putting the golden rule into practice. Now, there are different kinds of patience. There's patience during circumstances, and then there's patience with people, and then there's a combination of the two. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:4, when he was describing the behavior of love, that love suffers long and is kind. And so love is patient with people and is kind to people. Being impatient with others often causes us to lash out at them, to cause them harm. Very often with our mouth, and in rare cases, physically. Whether it be a coworker, a spouse, or our child, or a waitress and waiter, we show such impatience sometimes. And instead of actively speaking a kind word to them, we lash out, even say harsh things. We react to a simple question or a simple request with the shrug of the shoulder or the puff of the mouth, or even with an unloving, often untrue remark. Even on the streets, we get in our car and all patience seems to fly out the window. And incidents of road rage have become an increasingly difficult problem because of the impatience of people. And there are people losing their lives as a result. I heard a story years ago about a little girl in the back seat who spoke up and said, "Mommy, when you're driving, do you ever get to be the idiot?" So we call people names as we're driving. We show such impatience even there when we're alone, with people we've never met or don't know. It's easier for us to be patient with people if we remember who people are and where they ultimately came from. They're recreated in the image of God. James 3, 9 and 10, "With it," that is the tongue, "we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." We need to remember that the people around us have eternal souls, and those souls will end up in one of two places: eternal life in heaven or eternal punishment in hell. Jesus said in John 5, 28 and 29, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Ecclesiastes 7, 8, and 9. "The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." People get angry and do the most foolish things, and then sometimes justify those things by saying, "Well, I was angry." That doesn't make it right. You're expected to control your passions and your emotions, to keep them in check, to act kindly, to act cordially, to act in the best way you can act, even when you become angry. Proverbs 14, 29, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." In James 1:19, James says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So in applying the golden rule, be patient. Number two, be penitent. Perhaps one of the most difficult things to do is to be penitent when it comes to other people. We don't want to be wrong. We don't like to think that we're wrong. We certainly never want to admit that we were wrong. But we're often wrong. You know, it requires admitting that we're wrong or that we have done wrong. That's penitence. It's a great blow to our pride. But our pride sometimes needs a great blow. Why is it so difficult to say, "I'm sorry"? I'm not trying to be facetious. It is difficult to say. But the golden rule requires it of us, that we learn to say, "I'm sorry." You ever sat down and make a list of those things that are the hardest for you to say to other people? Is thank you hard to say to somebody? It seems to be for some people. Saying "I'm sorry" ranks high upon the list. Because when we say "I'm sorry," we are admitting failure. We are admitting that we did something that was wrong. And that's difficult. And then failing to be penitent towards someone that we've wronged often leads to bitterness toward them, and this leads us to treat them badly, or at best to neglect doing good things for them, and that's a violation of the golden rule. Consider a few verses. James wrote in James 5:16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now, when our brother wrongs us, boy, we're quick to speak out, aren't we? We don't mind doing that. Often we don't speak to them, which is who we need to go to and try to straighten it out in a humble way, but we go to other people and talk about them. But let us wrong somebody. Are we peacemakers then? Do we seek peace and pursue it? Do we strive to live peaceably with all men as much as depends on us? You know, Jesus went on to teach in Matthew 5, 21 to 26 that murder begins in the heart. And he teaches us that hatred is sinful and what it can lead to. And he says here in verse 23, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." Now, Jesus is using emphatic speech here, hyperbolic speech, to emphasize how important it is to make things right when things are wrong. Maybe your brother's done something to wrong you, or it could be you've done something to wrong your brother. Seek him out. Get that fixed. Think of others before yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Pride gets in the way of our penitence. Pride gets in the way of us looking deep inside and seeing, "I was wrong." Wonder how many marriages have ended because somebody was too proud to say, "I was wrong and I'm sorry." I wonder how many parents have went a time not speaking to their grown children Because pride would not let somebody say, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I wonder how many close, dear friendships were destroyed because somebody was too proud to say, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. We need to look out for the interests of others, and not only for our own interest. And then a third way to practice the golden rule is be productive. Now the rules we mentioned in the introduction, the silver rules, forbid causing harm to others. But Jesus' golden rule requires us not only to refrain from doing harm to others, but to be active in doing good deeds for others. Do you ever think of offering to help someone before they ask you? But you see, the golden rule is unique. It's very unique in that. It stands out above all the others because it requires actively doing good for others and being productive in a positive way. With our silence, our absence, and our inactivity, we can do harm through negligence. We forsake opportunities to exhort, to comfort, to build up, to strengthen. How many men or women chose in that fateful moment that destructive path when an encouraging word from a friend might have changed their whole course? Listen to the Bible on how to be productive toward our fellow man. And this certainly is not an exhaustive list, thus fulfilling the golden rule. For example, Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's a real danger for all of us. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily. I have a friend that I grew up with back home in my hometown. I've got him on my Facebook. And almost every day he makes a post on his Facebook that says, in the morning, he says, I'm sitting here contemplating how I can make someone smile today. So every day he makes it his goal to do something, even if it's a little something, to improve somebody else's life just a little. Because sometimes that goes much further than you think. Well, what can I do this morning to help a brother or sister in their spiritual walk with God? Maybe I can send them a text. Well, no, it's not their birthday. It's not their... Maybe I can send them a card. Well, it's not their anniversary. Doesn't have to be. It could just be out of the blue note. Hey, I appreciate you. Even if you just said that. That's going to make somebody's day. It's going to make them stronger. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 teaches us that coming to the assemblies is an opportunity to be productive in helping others, thus fulfilling the golden rule. Where it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so if we do not forsake, and if we attend, and if we're here, and that is called considering one another or being considerate of one another, then not being here when we could is being inconsiderate of others. But here is just one other reason why I should try to always be here in the assemblies and the Bible classes. Because I know it's productive in exhorting my brethren. Look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. This brings us, although not exclusively, but it brings us into the realm of the tongue, the mouth, and how it reacts to what's going on inside. where Paul wrote, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you." Now he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to a local church. What are they doing with all these things inside them anyway? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice? Yes. Christians can allow those things into their heart. And it can wreak havoc upon a local church. And upon those essential relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ. But Paul said, put all that away and be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's look at one more. Romans chapter 12. Or a couple of more. Romans chapter 12. Beginning of verse 10. Paul wrote, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer," and then verse 13, "distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Is that me? Am I helping others in those ways? Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40. Jesus shows us just how high this bar is set. When he says in verse 35 of Matthew 25, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." We cannot be a passive Christian and fulfill the golden rule. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 takes this realm of service and good deeds and helpfulness and hospitality outside of the brethren and to the world. Where it says, therefore, let's get verse 9 first. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, but in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all." And then especially to those of the household of faith, especially the Christians. So practicing the golden rule is something we do for everyone. And we can do so by helping them, giving them aid. Opportunities often come up where we could help somebody. And we put it off because I'm too busy. I'm in the middle of something. I can't be bothered with that right now. And so often it doesn't have to be some big, huge, giant thing. Just a little thing. Just a little bit of help that you can give somebody along the way means the world. Open a door for somebody. You know, I remember when I was younger, I used to get up and I was one of those who really come down hard on the younger generation. And it seems like everybody always comes down hard. Well, they ain't like they was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, kids, we were all perfect. Everybody was perfect, right? But you know, in my lifetime, I've known a lot more really good young people than I have really bad young people. That's speaking from experience. I can give you story after story. I can still remember. I remember one day, and this must have happened 3, 4, 5 years ago, was at Dairy Queen down here in Smyrna. And I was outside, and there was three or four young people there, and you know, they looked, they had kind of the whatever the faddish things was with the hair and all that. And so I walk up, and I'm walking up to the door, and that young person, there's two sets of doors. A young person had already went in one door and looked back and saw me and stepped back out and opened that door. He's a young man, teenager, young man, opened that door for me. And I walked through and I said, thank you. And he said, yes, sir. It seems like I get that a lot. Well, he did a good deed. He practiced the golden rule that day. He went out of his way. He didn't have to turn back and come back out. He wasn't obligated to do that. But he did it. We can do things like that. Anticipate opportunities to help somebody even in small ways. And we will be productive and practicing the golden rule. Well, there are many lessons we can learn from the golden rule, but here are three that we can put into practice in practical ways. Be patient with other people. We don't know what they're going through in their life. Be penitent toward others. Don't be afraid to say you were wrong or to say that you're sorry. It's so important. And be productive toward others. What can I do today to help somebody have a better day? Let's pray. Father, we humbly thank you for the time we've had this morning to read and study your word. And we thank you for the golden rule. We thank you for our Lord and for all of his words. We pray that we would love and respect his teaching. We pray that we would not just write the golden rule in our heart, but we would live it in our lives. That we would be kind to others. That we would be helpful, and that most importantly, that we would teach the lost the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, take your song books and turn to the number that has been